our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Father, we pray as we reflect upon your word this morning, fill us with your grace to understand it and enable us to apply your word into our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen. What do you think is the most difficult thing in the world to do? What is one of the most difficult things we humans are ever called upon to do? Joseph did it. Lots of people would look at Joseph and say, wow, Joseph went from being in prison to being in charge of Egypt. That must be the most difficult thing in the world to do. To become the king or the president of a country or something like that. But no, that's not it. I think one of the most difficult things in the world to do is to forgive someone. Someone hurts you and you are supposed to forgive that person. Someone destroys your reputation by spreading lies about you behind your back. And you are supposed to forgive that person. Someone hurts your mom or your dad, your spouse or your siblings, and you are supposed to forgive that person. This is one of the hardest things in the world to do, I believe. Can you do this? Can I do this? We talk about this all the time in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But it's not easy. I guess it's the hardest thing. I bring this up because of the story of Joseph, which has been read to us. He did something that was pretty amazing. He forgave his brothers. The Old Testament reading for today describes a moving scene of reconciliation. The self-revelation of Joseph to his brothers who sold him into slavery many years before. Last Sunday, the Old Testament reading was from Genesis 37, where we saw that Joseph's own brothers hated him and kidnapped him. They had even planned to kill him. They settled for selling him into slavery, a possible, if not likely, death sentence. And now, in today's reading from Genesis chapter 45, Joseph is in a position to get revenge on them. They need Joseph. He doesn't need them. The famine that the Pharaoh has dreamed about has come to pass. Everywhere there is famine in the land. Egypt has grain in abundance because of Joseph's interpretation of the Pharaoh's dream and their mutual stewardship in preparation. Yet Joseph does not take revenge on his brothers. He provides for them and their families. He receives them as his brothers. He embraces and forgives them. I think it won't be an exaggeration to say that relationships are the most important thing in life. Because the two greatest commandments in the Bible have to do with right relationships. First toward God and then toward one another. Whenever you see broken relationships toward God or in the family or in the church, you know that it's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God. God wants us to forgive others the way He forgives us in Jesus Christ. God wants us to reconcile our broken relationships. There is perhaps nothing so moving as witnessing a fractured family being reconciled or reunited. That's why Genesis chapter 45 is such a moving chapter. We are allowed to look in on the reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers after 22 years of separation and estrangement. Imagine the rush of confusion and horror which swept over Joseph's brother when they heard this Egyptian governor say, "I am Joseph," the brothers wouldn't have known whether he was angry or what. Then he shouted something in Egyptian, and all his attendants rushed out of the room. Then this man broke into prolonged, loud sobbing. The text compresses the story, but as you know, it takes time for someone who is sobbing to calm down enough to talk. Then, of all this, he spoke in Hebrew. Until now, he had spoken only in Egyptian through an interpreter. For 22 years, they had spread the rumor that Joseph was dead, to the point that they believed it themselves, because slavery was hard, and they thought, this is father's son who never worked. He must be dead now. And to hear this powerful ruler now say, "I am Joseph," after what they had done to him, their blood ran cold. The world translated dismayed. They were dismayed. It means to be terrified. It is used to describe the feeling which swept over a group of men in battle when suddenly the enemy turned on them and they realized they were doomed. Joseph's brothers thought, this is it. The game is over. They were stuck speechless. In fact, up to verse 15 of our reading this morning, Joseph does all the talking. And then in verse 15 says, and he kissed them, kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. It might be the biggest and most overlooked aspect of the story of Joseph. Everyone focuses on how Joseph went from nothing to become second in command of Egypt. And that is an amazing story. But what he did with his brothers, the fact that he forgave them, that might be an even more amazing part of this story. Could you do what Joseph did? Could I do what Joseph did? This is what Jesus did for us. He reconciled us to God. Joseph shows us the key to being reconciled to those who have deeply hurt, whether they are family members, relatives, or friends. The key to reconciliation is your attitude. And the key to your attitude is submitting yourself to the sovereign God. In our epistle reading this morning, Paul is writing to the Gentile Christians to reconcile themselves with the Jewish Christians. Some of the Gentile Christians found a reason to boast, thinking that they, as Gentiles, have replaced Israel in God's plan. For these reasons, Paul made a case that God's promises to Israel remain intact if they come through Christ. Speaking to the Gentile Christians, Paul warns them not to feel superior, but embrace Jewish Christians as their sisters and brothers in Christ. In fact, one of the main purposes of St. Paul writing this letter was the reconciliation between Jewish and Gentile Christians. The very point of the Christian gospel is that God's grace is not for a select few. Otherwise, grace wouldn't be grace, and it is not based on works. We see that grace in Jesus' life too. At the end of the service, we will be singing a beautiful hymn. We'll be singing the most popular hymn in English language, written by John Newton, Amazing Grace. John Newton, as I guess we all know, was a captain of the slave ships and an investor in the slave trade in his early days. But the moment he gave his life to Christ, he forsook all. He submitted everything to God. And then he wrote this amazing hymn, which is called Amazing Grace. One of the most noticeable characteristics of Joseph throughout these chapters is that he made God the center of his life. So often, even for Christians, God is a part of their lives. When we go on Monday morning for our work, we leave God at home. Driving a car, sometimes we point different types of fingers to others. Sometimes, we show angry faces to people around us, because God, we don't make the God of our center of our life. But for Joseph, everything centered on God. Joseph's words to his brothers also give us the theological lens through which to view his whole story. God sent me before you to preserve life. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Joseph makes the same statement to his brothers years later after his father's death. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. He became the rescuer and restorer of others who found themselves in need of redemption. What a forgiving spirit this man Joseph had. If you put your trust in the Lord, that doesn't mean you sail through life without any challenges. It doesn't mean you commit your way to God. God will be in every... It does mean when you commit your way to God, God will be in every detail of your life. God is not only the question, God is also the answer. Each of us have people in our life that hurt us deeply. Whenever their name comes to mind, our pulse quickens as we remember the pain. How can we move beyond the hurt? How can we learn to let go our desire for revenge? Jesus in today's gospel reminds all of us that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth, proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. So we need to think what we need to ponder upon this. We need to think about our thoughts and desires. St. Paul says, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Joseph's brothers knew what they deserved: imprisonment, death. But Joseph gave them something that they did not deserve. He gave them mercy. He gave them grace. He forgave them. Jesus did the same for us. We did not deserve salvation. We did not deserve mercy and grace. He took our sins, shame and guilt upon himself and showed us mercy and grace. Jesus Christ is the greatest display of God's forgiveness and reconciliation in our lives. And thus we are called to follow the Lord. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.